Hey, the next study, Baptist ideas spread throughout Europe. Start out with England. King James I was succeeded by his son Charles I, who was a strong advocate of the divine right of kings, unlimited rule of a king as the will of God. And whatever the king wants, that's the will of God for you. And King James believed that, but was a wise and good ruler anyway, and so it didn't stir an uprising. Charles believed it and was a very corrupt ruler and used the divine right of kings to promote his corruption. And so you're going to get a rebellion. Okay. Charles persecuted all dissenters, independents, and even the Puritans within the established church. Many Baptists fled to Holland, others to the American colonies. Strict laws were passed against all Anabaptists, Congregationalists, Quakers, and other independents. A famous book written against the Baptists during this period was entitled The Dippers Dipped. The Dippers Dipped, D-I-P-T. The Dippers Dipped. And Dippers was an insulting term often used against Baptists. It was full of extreme language and false accusations directed against the Baptists. It was full of extreme language and false accusations directed against the Baptists. One of the accusations was that many, many Baptists had developed pneumonia from being baptized by immersion and had died. So, you know, if you got baptized by immersion, you were really putting your life at risk. That kind of thing. The whole idea of divine right of kings, when we, in the very beginning of class, we're going through seeing that all human authority is limited by God. Humans don't get unlimited authority. This is the belief that the king has unlimited authority. And a fairly famous novel was written during that period to illustrate the problem with this. And it's written about the Civil War that we're about to get to in a minute. And in this novel, there are two neighbors. They're neighbors, they're friends, they live together in harmony till the Civil War comes. One of them is on the side of the rebels who want to overthrow the king. And the other supports the king because he believes in the divine right of kings. Whatever the king wants is the will of God. So the king flees and comes to the house of his supporter to be hidden. So he's very carefully hiding him there, trying to make sure nobody knows, bringing him everything that he needs, and of course, making sure that his neighbor, with whom he often has arguments, doesn't know the king is there, because he knows the neighbor would turn him in. But so happens, while he has the king there, the king separated from his wife and his family while he's hiding there, and this man has a beautiful 16-year-old daughter. So the king decides he wants a morally impure relationship with the daughter, and since the will of the king is the will of God, he expects all the family to cooperate. But the man is infuriated with this. And so he turns the king in to his neighbor. Make sure his neighbor knows the king is there, because now he wants him turned in. Because now he doesn't believe in the divine right of kings. When it touches his daughter, he doesn't believe in it. And that would illustrate the point, no matter what you say about believing in unlimited authority for government, there'll come a moment when you don't believe in it anymore. There would be circumstances in which you didn't believe in it anymore. Well, a Baptist pastor named Samuel Oates, I'm sorry, not quite there yet, Dippers Dipped. It was full of extreme language and false accusations directly against the Baptists. All preachers who were not licensed by the Church of England, were forbidden to preach during this time. It's the idea of a license for preachers sounds so extreme to us. But not many years ago, the state of Kentucky passed a law requiring all preachers to be licensed. And a preacher notably publicly defied it, and it was so unpopular they eventually couldn't enforce it. But that was actually tried in recent years here in the United States, which gives you the idea of the way that some folks think about government. Thank God for the preacher that defied it. There were several preachers, even independent Baptist preachers, that gave into it and went and got a license. John Milton, a Baptist, famous author of Paradise Regained, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained, compared the New Church of England with the Roman Catholic Church. One of his most famous quotes was, "New presbyters, but old priests writ large." He's saying the leaders of the Church of England were acting just like the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church had. A Baptist pastor named Samuel Oates was eventually tried for murder because he baptized by immersion. Samuel Oates was eventually tried for murder because he baptized by immersion. A young lady whom he had baptized had died several weeks after her baptism, and the authorities decided that her immersion had caused the death. Again, they might have been influenced by Dippers Dipped. Even so, whether they were or not, they tried him for murder because a few weeks after a young woman was baptized, she died. Oates was put on trial for her murder. Several witnesses testified that she was in good health for several weeks after her baptism, and Oates was eventually found not guilty. It's amazing the things you can get sued for as a Baptist preacher. I speak with some authority. The dictatorial manner of Charles I finally pushed the English into open rebellion against him, and two civil wars were fought. They fought a war. The people rose up, overthrew the power of the king, defeated his armies, and made the king promise to be different. Once the civil war was over and he was reestablished, he went right on doing what he was doing before. Promise didn't mean anything. So they fight a second civil war and overthrow him. So now's the question, what do you do? He tried making a deal with him, and that didn't work out. So now what do you do? After the second war, Charles was overthrown, arrested, and beheaded. And that was the way to see to it. He wasn't going to be a problem anymore. Lots of people looking back at that moment have been very critical of them for beheading Charles I. But they haven't answered the question, what would you do? He just fought a civil war. People gave their lives to gain freedom. What happens if you keep the king on the throne? You already know. You still have the same problems. So it's called regicide and bitterly condemned, etc. But they cut his head off, and the truth is he never took anybody's freedom away again. Oliver Cromwell, a military and political leader with strong Puritan leanings, became the virtual dictator. Officially titled Lord Protector of England, the Lord Protector. Many Baptists had supported Cromwell, and some of his generals were Baptist. He stood for religious liberty, and he resisted the attempts of his Puritan associates to persecute Baptists. Stood for religious liberty, and he resisted the attempts of his Puritan associates to persecute the Baptists. Reading in one of his biographies, he's got Church of England leaders appealing to him. You know, he's not keeping the heretics in check, and the Baptists are operating out in the open, and all of that. And he responds to them with a letter, says, "What's so bad about Baptists anyway?" A letter with which I would greatly sympathize. What's so bad about Baptists anyway that we need to put them in jail and kill them? I said, what are they doing that creates such harm? And among Catholic historians, he is remembered as a horrible villain because he did much to restrict the Catholic Church. But he wasn't restricting the Catholic Church because he was afraid of what they believed. He was restricting the Catholic Church because they were allied with the king, and they were very, very involved in wanting to reestablish Catholicism, and he saw them as political enemies. He would say, yes, we arrested those priests because they're trying to reestablish Catholic control in Rome, in England. But he's right. Baptist, what are the Baptists doing that justify being arrested and persecuted or even put to death? Well, he finally gave in to the pressure to allow harassment of the Baptists, mostly over licensing, but he never allowed the violent persecutions of the past. He even wrote letters defending individual Baptists. During his government, the Baptist grew and prospered to an incredible degree. A radical group known as the Fifth Monarchy Men was a radical group known as the Fifth Monarchy Men. Arose during this time. Their most prominent leaders were a Baptist general named Thomas Harrison, and an independent preacher named Thomas Vanier, V-E-N-N-E-R, Thomas Vanier. They were post-millennialists. Three basic views of the millennium. Premillennialists, which is what we would be who believe Christ will return, and the return of Christ establishes the millennium. The amillennialists, who don't believe there is a millennium. They just believe it's symbolic of certain truths. And the post-millennialists, who believe that after mankind establishes the right government, Christ will return. Well, they're post-millennialists. And you can get so limited in your thinking, they're thinking Christ will return if they establish the right government in England, which, of course, would still leave most of the world without the right government. But they thought all of God's work centered on England. I do hear some preachers today talk as if they think all of God's work centers on the United States. In fact, they think if the United States falls, that has to start the tribulation because the world couldn't exist without the United States. Though the truth is, it existed a long time before there was the United States. And nothing faintly reminiscent of the United States in prophecy and in Scripture. I have a sneaking suspicion we're gone when most of that happens. But these folks are trying to take over the government in order to create a perfect government and get Christ to return. They were post-millennialists believing they could bring about the return of Christ and the millennium by establishing the right government. How do you think government tended to feel about that? Some Baptists supported the Fifth Monarchy, while others openly opposed it. And this, some opposed it, some supported it. And this was basically an argument about Bible prophecy. It was an argument that ended up having great significance. The movement was eventually crushed militarily by Charles II. The involvement of Baptists in this violent group later was used as an excuse for persecuting Baptists. It's used as an excuse for persecuting Baptists. People say, well, we've got to stop the Baptists. We've got to license the Baptists. We've got to regulate the Baptists because they're trying to overthrow the government and take over, which wasn't true of the average Baptist. And one of the hard lessons of history is we tend to take the blame for what famous people using our name do, whether they do it consistent with Baptist truth or not, or whether we had anything to do with it or not. And God help us, and people say, well, that's not fair, and I know it's not fair. But we sometimes have to be careful to distinguish ourselves from and separate ourselves from people that carry the Baptist name. And you go into the American history, and many, many of the slave churches were Baptist. And a fellow named Nat Turner comes along. He's a Baptist preacher. And he starts preaching to the slaves to revolt. And I understand the desire to gain their freedom. But he starts preaching to them that that's Bible truth, that they must revolt against their masters and kill their masters. So he leads an uprising. In the course of the uprising, many people, and some who didn't own slaves, many people get killed. So who does virtually the whole country blame for this? Black Baptist churches. And so many of them were flourishing, even right on plantations, many of them were flourishing. But owners begin to not want to have a black church on the plantation because they're afraid one night they're going to find a church activity is coming into their homes and killing them. And so all kinds of people who had absolutely no violent inclination at all end up getting blamed for Nat Turner. Same thing here. All kinds of people who were not part of the Fifth Monarchy movement, they did not expect Christ to come after right government was established, get blamed. See, the same thing right now, today. been enough moral scandals with Baptist preachers and teenagers that the whole movement's getting blamed for it. Even though vast majority of Baptist preachers have never done anything like that. Everybody still has a cloud over their head because of it. This is part of life, part of the ministry. We have to live with it. We can't keep people from doing things that embarrass us all. We do need to make sure we don't do anything that embarrasses the brethren. God bless you. Let's take a break.